He pastors the Unity Baptist Church in Ripley, Mississippi. And I appreciate the testimony that he holds in that area. He is a friend to preachers. He loves God's men. And I love to be around him. You know, there's just some people you like to be around. They are light in a dark world. And I feel that way about Brother Ronnie. You hear him while he preaches this morning. I love you.
Amen. I wish you'd say that in front of my wife. I'm going to get her up here and let her hear that. How good I am. Amen. She and I have been together, married, 51 years. And was together two or three years before that. Dating, not actually. You got me. So anyway, I don't know if she knows that yet or not, what you just said. But anyway, I'll get her to watch this later. Okay. Is the clock running? It's running. Oh, okay. Let me hurry up here. Wow. Yesterday, I thought, man, Brother Stacy preached. I thought, well, that's why I came. That's why I came. I needed that. And then Brother Richard preached. Both of them, that's why I came. And Brother Nathaniel preached. And I thought, man, you know, we all susceptible to getting bullied. Brother Nathaniel, now he explained some of his childhood and experiences. And we're susceptible to that even now. But I'm glad we got somebody to handle the bully. Amen. Thank you, brother. That was good. Then last night with Brother Leonard. Yesterday, then the older gentleman preached, Brother Williams over here, Brother Dana. Thank you for preaching us young preachers in the morning. Amen. And so, Brother Dana, I've heard Brother Dana, good night, every year in my church ever since about 97 and then numerous other places, and I tell you, I've never heard him do any better. And that was just tremendous, Brother Dana, I'll tell you, it was tremendous. And really spoke to my heart and helped me. And so then last night, Brother Leonard got that puzzle. I mean, you know, that's just him. Somebody said after the service, man, I never heard that before. Really? Duh, Brother Charles. No, ain't nobody ever heard that before. And then Brother Larry, to do what he did last night. Now, buddy. That takes God, and it takes a lot of courage.
Yes, sir.
It takes a lot of courage to do that. And if you were here, you can rejoice.
Yes, amen.
In that you were here and to see the burden on that man.
Amen.
And to experience those moments of just waiting on God.
Amen.
That's what we were doing.
Amen.
He may have made a little commentary along the way, but we were just waiting on God. And I'm glad. I wanted to preach this morning on breakthrough. That's what I've been preaching. That's pretty heavy. So I'm not going to preach on that, but we had a breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen. After he and we all prayed. And you don't have breakthroughs without prayer.
Amen.
And he went over and sat down, and then the pastor took over, continued it. We're all in the altars praying, pleading the blood. And they said two people got saved. Hallelujah. And so if you were here, that was powerful. That was powerful. And so then this morning, Brother Fox, thank you for reminding us of truth and love and that balance. We got a lot of people that are in extremism in areas that have got them outside of the scripture. Now, if you can be extreme and stay in the book, then that's a good place to be.
Amen.
But when you're extreme to the point it gets you out of the book, that's an extremity that you need to ditch and get back in.
Amen.
But we need that balance. Thank you very much. Okay, you don't really need a watch here, but I'm used to taking it off and making people think I'm going to look at it. And so I don't actually have to look at it. Y'all all know Brother Dana Williams and Esther. They're such a blessing. And I'll tell this, and then we'll go to Ephesians 3. But recently, Dana and Esther were at home, and he got up one morning to go do some running around, whatever, and Esther said to him, Dana, you know what today is. Well, he didn't have a clue. So he, but not to be outdone by Esther, he says, well, I know what today is. So anyway, went on, he thought, what in the world is today? What is today? What is today? What is today? So he said, I better cover this. So he called the flower company and told them, said, send some flowers to my wife there to the house and whatever. So he felt better. What is today? What is today? Long about lunchtime, he thinking, man, I still didn't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe I better do something else. So he called the candy store, told him to send her some candy. He knows her flavor and all of that. And so and it was going to work out because it happened to be the same flavor he likes. So anyway, so she's going. Well, that afternoon, he's fixing to go back home. He's like, I'm still not sure. I've got this. Man. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so he called the jewelry store and he called and said, look, send her. I know there's a bracelet down there she wants, and so send her. You know, yeah, we know which. Well, send that to her. Send it to her. So they got it delivered. So he comes home. He's feeling good now. I mean, she's got flowers, candy, and jewelry. Yeah. He walks in with his chest out, and he's smiling real big. And he said, "Well, honey, what do you think about today?" She said, "Dana, this is the best Groundhog Day I've ever had in my whole life." Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This is my, I guess you call it life verse. If I have signed your Bible within the last 100 years, I put Ephesians 3:20 under my name. And there may be scores of people here I've signed your. No. Come on, go with me now. Go with me. It'll make us 35, 40 minutes go real, 20 minutes go real fast. You come, go with me. Go with me. I love this verse. I love this verse. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now he goes on to say, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. I want to focus on verse number 20. Now, I've got two pages here. I've got the front page that's got a bunch of stuff, and don't even think you could read it even up close. I barely can. Then I got the other. So I'm going to skip the first page and go immediately to the second page. And I want to talk about the power of his power, the power of God. I want to say to us old people, we need to be reminded that God's able. I want to say to these middle-aged and young couples, young people, thank you, Kobe, for that prayer a while ago. Boy, that just blessed my heart. That was precious. Thank God for these young people here. Isn't it amazing, young people, to still come to a meeting like this and get in on what they've got in on these days? Some of them have been here for days. They need to know about the bigness of God, the greatness of God. And so I want to talk about that just from this text. You know, when you talk about God, there's some words you never use. You never use the word average. What is average for God? Well, parting the Red Sea, parting the Jordan, raising people from the dead. That's average for God. That's just average for God. I mean, creating a world. Come on. So, because that's so much bigger than our comprehension, you don't use average when you're talking. You don't use typical. Typical when you're talking about God. What's typical for God? I mean, you know, you don't use normal. Normal, you know. Hey, just some things, because why? Well, because in verse 20, we see the ability of his ability. It says, now unto him that is able. Now, the reason why that phrase and that idea, the ability of his ability, is important, because whatever he could do, he can do. Now, Let me shake your hand, Brother Steve. You and I have so much in common. And not only our good looks. And I can't believe we didn't get a standing ovation on that one. But you said you ran the mile run.
Yes, sir.
In what, high school? Or,
yes, sir.
Yeah, I did too. And I hadn't run it since then. But I did. But what I could do, I can't do. I can't do that. No, sir. Makes me tired just thinking about it. And I don't know if they even have it anymore. They probably have meters, some kind of European term. Well, we run the old-fashioned American mile run. Amen. And that thing, I could, but I'll tell you what, the ability of his ability, Brother Jack, whatever he could do, now he can do. And in other words, I can't even see like I used to could see. 20 years ago, I didn't need these. And in fact, these babies have been updated two or three times since I started wearing them. They helped me to see, but they hadn't fixed my seeing. I still can't see to read the scriptures hardly without them. But now whatever God could see, he can see, okay? Now I don't have time to elaborate on that. You get that? You believe that? How many? Let's vote on it. How many believe that? Okay, we got the majority. All right. I can't even speak like I used to could speak. But now God can. If he used to could speak, he can still speak the same. We all in agreement? Raise your hand. Supply. Whatever he could supply, he can supply. If he took care of Israel, well over 1 million people in the wilderness for 40 years, could he do that? He did. Could he do it again? Did you know that there's a wilderness, I know you know this, in the Old Testament, 40 years of it, where he took care of them. Revelation says there's another wilderness where he's going to put Israel and he'll take care of them. And whatever he has to do, brother, if he has to send them manna, some people say that's Basra. It's over there where Petra. And that's what some people say. Tim LaHaye and their Left Behind series said God would probably put a dome over that area so the Antichrist cannot fire his missiles and stuff like that in there after he breaks his covenant with them. And he's going to protect. Well, you know, by George, Israel's already got a dome. They got one, and God will perfect his, and protect, but if he wants to send them manna and take care of them, he'll do it. If he needs to send them quail, whatever. There was a rock followed them for 40 years that never ran out of water, met their needs. I'm just saying God could supply. Are we all in agreement on that? All right, let's move on. The ability of his ability. He can do whatever he could do. I can't. The abundance of his ability. Look in verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Abundantly. The abundance of his ability. Now, it's one thing to have ability, but it's another thing to have an abundance of ability. There was a time I had ability, and according to whatever I was doing, some things I had an abundance of ability. But now I don't have an abundance and don't have a lot of ability anymore in some areas. But God is able and God has an abundance. I mean, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? And so he's able to do abundantly. So there's some hyperlatives there. You like that? Some exceeding abundantly above all. And so what about that abundance? Let me illustrate it this way right quick. When I was growing up, my daddy had a 61 black Comet. Anybody know what a Mercury Comet was? Okay, good. You young people, just cruise with me a little bit here, right here. Some of you won't have a clue. And so it had some ability. It could get us to the store to get groceries. It could get us to church. And all. It had some ability. Charlie Wayne Simmons. Y'all didn't know Charlie. Charlie Wayne Simmons had a 1967. Now, I looked this up a while ago. I couldn't believe it. I found it. I Googled it up to make sure, and I couldn't hardly believe it. As I'm remembering that 1967, wanted to make sure I had my numbers right. Because when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, we'd walk by Charlie Wayne. He still lived with his mom and daddy then. And Charlie Wayne was in his early 20s. And we would go up into the yard of Mr. Eric Simmons, his daddy's house, me and my friend Johnny Bowen. And we would walk up and we would look at Charlie Wayne's car. Charlie Wayne's car was a canary yellow Chevelle Malibu, 67, and he had a special motor in it. And this is what I got in my notes, but I looked it up to make sure, because I didn't want to remember. A 327 cubic inch, that's 5.4 liters for you Europeans, and with a small block L79 engine. It was the most powerful one offered in the 1967 Chevelle, and it had 327, but it had 350 horsepower.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And interlocking rear end. Now, you talking about one more bad canary yellow, black leather interior, four-speed. That dude was bad. Now, I don't know on the top end what he'd do, but in the quarter, there were people around there had some other bad cars. But Charlie Wayne, that thing was something. Canary yellow. Did I tell you that? And we'd go up there, and we would look at it, me and Johnny Boy, and we'd walk around, and we just wished that we could ride in it. I was too young to drive it. I knew that. But we just wished we could right. My daddy had a black Mercury Comet. It was about that long. But Charlie Wayne had a 1967 canary yellow. Black leather interior. Four speed, Brother Chris. Four speed, interlocking rear end. And I could hear them at night. I lived on the Lindsay Loop, named after my granddaddy. Back behind was they cut a new road, new highway. And the boys that had them fancy cars would line up down there and drag. And I could hear them at night with my window raised in my bedroom. And at night, and I could hear them down there and screeching off. And I'll tell you, and my daddy, if I'm lying, I'm dying. My daddy come in one day and told me that he rode with Charlie Wayne Simmons in that 1967 Chevelle Malibu, canary yellow. Black leather interior, four-speed, interlocking rear end. And I said, Daddy, tell me about it. And he told me about it. We had a black Mercury Comet. Not to be outdone. 1968, my daddy bought a brand new Caprice. We went from a car this long to one that was from here to over here. A 68 Caprice. I think it buckled in the middle. That thing was something else. That Chevelle canary yellow had not only ability, but abundance of ability. I'd like to talk to you more about that, but I don't have time. Because I need to talk about the above of his ability. It's right there in your text. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above what? Well, number one, above what we can ask. Now, how big is God? Just how big is God? What is the power of his power? The Bible says that he's able to do exceeding above. Above. Could I say to you that God's ability is not limited by what I can ask him to do? If that's all God can do, then Then he could do a lot, but he can do much more than that. There are things that even in the New Testament, there for instance in Acts 12, where they were praying for Peter to be delivered. I don't know that they really understood or appreciated how God would do that. Because when the angel came and set him free, then he knocked on the door to get in the prayer meeting there with John Mark and his mother and him. And he had a hard time getting in. Somebody said he had a harder time getting in the prayer meeting than he did get out of prison. After a while, he's probably going to say, "Angel, where'd you go? I need you to help me get in here." And so there's the above of his. God can do above what you can. But not only that, but he can do above what you think he can do. And I've got a pretty good imagination, but God can do above what we think he can do. I mean, there are things that God has done that I would. What about, just for instance, the creation? Listen to me, young people. What about the creation? I would have never thought. Brother Dana, I would have never thought of some of the things God, I'd have never thought of a giraffe. But God created a giraffe. I would have probably never thought of a hippopotamus. I would have never thought of something. I would have probably never thought of maggots. But maggots are very important. Something's got to clean up roadkill. I'm just saying, God thought of things that I would have never thought of. There are things I think I would have thought of. I'd have thought of a dog. I think I would have. I don't know. But I think I would have thought of a dog. I would have thought of a cat, because dogs need something to chase. I would have thought of deer. Obviously, we need something to hunt. And venison. I would have thought of cattle, because we need ribeyes. I would have thought of some. I think I would have, but I don't know. I be honest, I don't know if I'd even thought of woman. I don't know that I would have. Now, I'm glad God did. I am for that. I am glad. Charles, I am glad God thought of that. He looked at Adam. You know, they say, you know what they say? They say God looked at Adam, shook his head, and said, "I can do better than that." And made a woman. How many of you women, you like that? Okay, they're in favor of that. Figure that. And so he said, God, and by the way, when Adam saw Eve, when he woke up, God put him to sleep, did that surgery on him, took that rib out, give him Eve. And so when he wakes up and he turns and looks at Eve, and the Bible says over there, and he called her woman. Yeah. Now you gotta know that he didn't just turn around and look at Eve and say, "Woman." No, I got an idea. He turned around and he looked at her and he said, "Whoa, man." That's what he said. That's what he said. I'm talking about above what we can ask or think. The above of his ability and the according of his ability. Look in verse 20. Abel, the ability of his, the abundant, the above, and then the according. You see, that has to do with the according to. It means it's in line with, or therefore. Or because of all of this, therefore, this power that worketh in us. And so you know what that means for us today? You know what that means? That means that because of his power, there is no prayer too difficult for God to answer. That means there is no promise too hard for God to keep. That means there is no problem too big for God to solve. That means there is no people too cold for God to revive. That means there is no person too lost for God to save. And that means there is no pain too great for God to comfort. How big is God? He's big enough. He's big enough. Thank you, Lord. Bless as we continue this service. Thank you for all that's been done, the great meals, the great services, this great meeting. I've asked the pastor not to change a thing. It's all so good. Thank you for your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen.